Oh, thank you, Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Praise God. Lift your hands and worship him again. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We worship you, Lord, so much. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, I was only teasing you about everybody laughing about Bishop. You know I was teasing you, didn't you? I don't get the chance to tease much. Everybody teases me, so I thought while I was up here, I just might say something about it. But at least it's positive. Did you hear about the guy that went into the barbershop and he told the barber, he said, I'm going to Italy. Oh, how are you flying? The barber was so negative, you know. He said, well, I'm catching a bus to D.C., Washington, D.C. Well, what line are you, what bus? He said, oh, Greyhound. He said, oh, you don't want to go Greyhound. Man, they're horrible. And he said, well, how are you getting to Rome? You going to? He said, well, I'm going to fly the Italian line. He says, oh, they're horrible. And they are just horrible. Just, you don't want to fly that, no. Where are you staying when you get over there? He said, well, I'm staying at the Royal Italian Hotel. Oh, that's horrible. Where are you eating? Well, I'm going to eat right there in the hotel. Oh, it's terrible. And he said, so you're going to go see the Pope? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, that St. Peter's Cathedral and everything. He said, it's not what you think. It's just, this guy was just negative, negative, negative. But he already had his tickets and everything, so he went. And when he got back, went back to see the barber, said, how'd everything go? He says, well, most everything went well. Most everything was positive. And the barber says, so what about the bus ride? Oh, it was excellent. What about the flight? Oh, flight was great. The attendance, just great. What about the hotel? He said, man, that was the nicest place I've ever been. What about the food? Oh, it was great. He said, well, you said most everything. He said, well, I went in, and so the Pope was, it was a long, long line, but everybody was so happy in the line. And finally, I got up to see the Pope, and so the Pope put his hand out, and I bent down to kiss his ring, and the Pope stopped me and said, hey, wait a minute. He said, I want you to answer me something before you kiss the ring. He said, who gave you that horrible haircut? Oh, well, I tried. I got another one I want to tell you sometime soon about the Pope. These are not derogatory stories about the Pope. Did you hear the one about Hank Frank from Odessa? Okay, I'll tell that next time. Okay. Oh, thank you, God. Hank Frank was a guy that just... No, I'm not going to tell it, okay? You want me to? It won't take very long, okay? If I don't finish this, I'll finish it 2 weeks from this Sunday because I'm preaching then. Hank Frank from Odessa. He was a guy that had a photostatic memory, and everybody knew him, and he knew everybody. So there was a guy that moved in their community, and they would tell him, said, oh, Hank Frank, if you need any information, go ask him. He knows everybody, and he knows everything, so. The guy went over there, and so Hank Frank looked at him and said, oh, I think I met you one time. And told him where he'd met him and said, well, yeah, I was there, yeah. So I'm right, all right. So he said, they say that you know everybody. He said, well, pretty much so. So he said, I'm going to visit President Obama. I said, you know him? Oh, yeah, he knows me. He said, you mind if I go along? I said, well, you don't have clearance to go in. But anyway, Hank Frank went to the White House, and this gentleman stayed on the outside, and he looked up, and Obama took Hank Frank by the window, and they both waved. He said, I guess he does know him. So they left from there, and they went to Rome and see the Pope. So Hank Frank and his friend introduced themselves, and they came back and said, well, Hank Frank can go up, but you can't go up. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll have the Pope to come out on this little balcony. He'll wave, and then you'll know. So Hank Frank and I went up to see the Pope, and after a while, this guy standing, watching, well, everybody was around was watching. And so here comes the Pope out and Hank Frank, and so they wave at this guy. This guy thought, well, I've never seen the Pope. I don't know that that's the Pope. So just a passerby was coming up, and so this guy looked around and said, hey, is that the Pope? The guy says, I don't know, but that's Hank Frank up there. Oh, well. I don't think y'all are getting these jokes. Well, in case you ever want to tell a bad one, you try to remember it, and then you can tell it. Okay. Oh, praise God. I haven't preached in over a month. And I've had a lot of pain in my back. And I think it's Jim Rivers' fault. But I'll tell you what happened. My sister and brother-in-law came from Texas up. And I was sitting in my a recliner in the bedroom. And it was way past bedtime. But my back hurts occasionally. I get up and I sit in that recliner. Well, I kind of dozed off. And the fire detector system that Jim Rivest installed went off. Seriously. It's like a fire truck. And then this woman started screaming, fire, 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 fire. So help me, I jumped up so fast. I met my brother-in-law in the family room, and I could not walk for a long time. So I called Jim Rivers, Sister Grant did, and said, listen, you caused my husband's back to go out. So, oh, Jim. Thanks for taking care of it. I don't think he put it in. I think Matt Moran put it in. Oh, man. My relationship with God has certainly changed over the last year or two. I guess I'm more aware, or maybe more focused on my relationship with God than I have been maybe ever. I want to speak on this subject tonight, a very simple subject. Am I really God's child? Because, you know, there's something about when you think of God as creator, it puts a little bit of a distance between you and God, because God is so big and so just awesome. But when you think of a child, you think of a father. It's a little bit different, isn't it? My dad passed away 28 years ago. And I love my dad. He had cancer. He was up to see me about 3 or 4 months before he passed away. But I spent all of my adult life, basically all of it here in Wisconsin, so I really wasn't with him much. But my dad and I, we could just talk to each other about just about anything because he was my dad. And of course, he knew that I wasn't his equal. He knew he was my dad. He knew I was his son. Paul makes this appeal to the Grecians on Mars Hill in Acts 17. Verse 22, he said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you.'" Verse 24, "For God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. It hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." In other words, there have been more wars fought over boundaries. That's what's happening in the Ukraine now. It happens all the time in the Middle East. People said, "Well, God gave me this and God gave me that." Verse 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." So God's not far from every one of you. That's what Paul says. And Paul is saying he gave us life and breath and all things. Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." That means that we are children of God. Now, when I think of the creation, I think of, you know, Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, the Bible says that God just simply formed man of the dust of the ground. So I don't know what man looked like before he became a living soul, but I just assumed that he looked like something, maybe some artist or someone had put together. But now this hunk of clay or dust that he's making, in order for it to be in the likeness of God, it's got to be alive. Can't be dead. So God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Now here's what happened. God took a part of himself, because his breath, that spirit, He took a part of himself and put it in this hunk of clay and said, now this is going to be my offspring. Now, can you feature that hunk of clay, all of a sudden the lungs taking on air and the heart starts beating? And he became a living soul. So man is definitely different because he is a part of God himself. So you have to understand that when you look at yourself, the very breath that you have is coming from God. The pulsation, the flow of blood, everything's coming from God. And that you are not just another person, but you are actually a part or a segment of God himself. Now we know according to Romans 5:14 that we were made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the figure to come. So when the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 119:86, the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven, that just simply means that before there was a heaven or an earth as we know it, that God had this logos. The word logos is the Greek word for word. It means a plan, a concept, or an idea. So God had all of this before he created everything we see. This is the reason why the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, and before there was a man, or before there was Jesus Christ, the plan was there. But not only was the plan there, also you were there. The Bible tells us that you were there. So when we seek to find our purpose, what we're doing, we're seeking for the will of God so that we can understand in the Spirit, we can understand what the Logos that was here a long time before you were ever born, but what the Logos had in mind for you. The prophets of the Old Testament, they had their calling, the Bible says, before that there was a planet Earth. Now, I don't understand all that about God, but what I'm saying is this, that you weren't just an accident, you weren't just something that happened. You may feel insignificant, you may feel unworthy, you may feel that your life doesn't matter, but it really does, because you're God's child. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verse 4, the Bible says, all souls are mine. The souls of the Father, the soul of the Son, the souls of the little children, they're all mine. And the soul that sinneth now shall surely die. That was a commandment given to Adam and Eve when they were made and placed in the Garden of Eden. Now what we have to understand, what Paul is saying, and I'll put it in our vernacular, he's looking at the different ways of living. He's looking at the different races. He's saying, does God favor certain people? Does he like people with white skin? Does he like people with dark skin? Who does he like? He likes all people. Now he says, sure enough, there are certain countries, the bounds of their habitation. In other words, they inhabit certain areas, but that doesn't make any difference to God. So you see, when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, they made one major mistake. They failed to understand that God was not Jewish. Now, they looked at Jesus Christ, and certainly he was Jewish. But God was not Jewish. Now, the Jewish people came out of Abraham, who received a revelation of the oneness of God, broke away from idolatry, established a promise in a land that we now know as Israel. But to say that God is Jewish, no. But see, they thought that Jesus Christ, who represented God, that he should be subject to the law. And when we say the law, we're talking about the tradition of the Jews. He wasn't. Now, we can make a real mistake as Pentecostals to believe that God is Pentecostal. Many, many denominations have gone totally astray from the Word of God because they thought that God was Methodist or Baptist. But no, God is God. And what we need to do, all of us, all the time, we need to associate ourselves with God. Now, that doesn't say that, I'm not saying that the United Pentecostal Church is not important. What I am saying is that God's Word is so important that the United Pentecostal Church and all other denominations, as a matter of fact, should stick with the Bible. They should stick with the Word of God. When man is born, he has this voice inside of him. Titus 2:11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, God is the God of, as I said, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness. That doesn't mean they're teaching right. You follow what I'm saying? It means he's everybody's God. He's a God of the Hindus. He's a God of the Muslims. He's everybody's God. Why? Why is he everybody's God? Because he created us and made us, and we are his offspring. And his voice is inside speaking to all of us. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean that everybody follows the inner voice of God. You know what happens when the inner voice of God is inside of you and you can hear it and yet you don't follow it? You become frustrated. You become embittered. You become enraged. We talk about terrorists. Some of these terrorists, you know, they just get things on their mind and they want to do what's right, at least they think they do, but they create so much havoc for the world. And yet here Jesus is talking about him being the Prince of Peace and such. Of course, if you don't believe in Jesus, it's different. But the thing about it is, when you start hearing the voice of God and you disobey, you can become very, very, very ugly and nasty. This is the reason why when you start praying for a loved one and finally get that loved one out to church, that loved one doesn't always become better to start with. Sometimes they can become very confused. God keeps speaking inwardly to people. You remember before you gave your heart to God how confused you got? And I used to just hate to go to church, but I couldn't stay away. I'd go and I'd sit way in the back. And I made out like I wasn't listening. I'd count the ceiling tile. I'd just do about everything, you know, just, oh, man. And I knew in my heart that what the preacher was saying was the Bible. I knew it was right. See, I had this plan for my life, and it wasn't what God had for me. Because I was his child, and because in the Logos, he had a plan for me. Don't you remember years before you gave your heart to God, you could see yourself as a child growing up and doing something for God? I don't know how many men I've talked to that said, I knew when I got to be 20 or 30 that I'd start preaching someday. I felt the same way. My grandfather, the adult family, they used to work in the fields. We had corn and cotton, plowed mules. One time my grandfather tied the mules and ran about 2 miles to the house. What was taking place was that my cousins and my sisters were sitting on the back porch of the house, and I was preaching. Just a little tiny thing. I was just preaching my heart out. You know. And when I was playing church like that, I mean, I knew that, you know, it's all right to get red in your face. It's all right to scream. And I was encouraging everybody to praise the Lord. And when my grandfather got up there, nothing was happening except I was preaching. And he was pretty cautious, I remember him telling me later, about correcting me. But I just felt that I needed to preach. And you know, the thing about it is, when I got to be a teenager, I didn't like to think about that. But boy, was I ever confused. I was restless. I was confused. I was trying to prove so many different things from my life. Then when I finally gave my heart to God, I just picked up on preaching just right away. Because in the back of my mind, I always felt like that God wanted me to preach. And you know, if you have a calling on your life, you may avoid it, but you can't avoid it and be happy. You can't. Whatever ministry God has for you, if you're not fulfilling that ministry, you're not happy. You're not. You're just not happy. You're walking with God. You couldn't breathe if God didn't give you that breath. No pulsation of the heart if God didn't give you that pulsation. So, and if you don't do what God is wanting you to do, do you think you're going to be happy? Nope. Wonder sometimes, as much preaching as some people hear, how can they have such a bad attitude? You know how? Because they're ignoring the voice of God. I said they're ignoring the voice of God. And it's going to be that way until you align yourself to the purpose of God. So for all God's children, he has a plan. Now, the thing about it is, since man's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, and he broke communication with God. See, God has two classes of children. Children of obedience and children of disobedience. You know, you read 1 and 2 Peter, it talks about the children of disobedience. And then it talks about the children of obedience. But until we're born again, we're just children of disobedience. That's the reason why the world is in such a chaotic condition. Have you ever seen so many wars and things cropping up and shootings and killings? And it's unbelievable, unbelievable. But that's what is happening as a result of people not giving their heart to God. Now we know, according to John 3:5, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But you see, here is the bad thing about not giving your heart to God. Now listen to me very carefully. Whether you like it or not, you're still God's child, even if you're not obedient to him. Now, what does that mean? That simply means this. See, the hell was made not for people, but it was made for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46. Let's look at that. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, inasmuch as heaven is everlasting and it's eternal, means it never ends, when you are not saved and you go where the devil and his angels are, it also is everlasting. And the reason why is because there's no such thing as annihilation. That just means totally destroy. We're just, it's all gone. How come? Because you're God's child, and you took on an element of God, and God cannot be destroyed. Now you think about what I'm saying. It's pretty serious. That simply means that God chose to make a place that is confined where the devil and sin and all disobedient people would go. And you're confined to hell forever because we are God's children and we were made in his image and in his likeness. And whether we like it or not, if we don't live for God, we can't go to heaven. We'll end up going to hell. But there's no such thing as the annihilation of the soul. It's a place where people will burn, they'll be punished, forever and forever and forever. I know I've talked to people who says that just doesn't seem fair. I said, well, I don't think it seems fair either. That's the reason why there's a holy city. And you can make a choice to go there if you want to. But if it's so unfair, why do you just keep putting it off? But this is just a simple little study, but a very serious one. You don't want to die forever. You don't want to burn forever. Revelation 20:15. Let's go there and read that. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So when we are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, our name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Now let's look at chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have that part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it's appointed unto man once to die, after death the judgment. And the reason why is because the soul that sinneth will die. But God made an exception to the original law of sin. He said, except you be born again. And the reason why that Jesus Christ came into the world, bled and died and suffered the way he did, is because of the value of your life and of your soul. When Jesus talked about what should a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? You know, the best thing that you can actually do once you get a little out of focus is just open your Bible and start reading all about hell and heaven. Eternity. Isn't it true, though, once you get out of focus, you don't want to get back in focus? Sometimes it takes a shaking message or Bible study or maybe something as simple as this study tonight. Jesus even said, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It would be better to go to heaven with one eye and into hell with both. If your hand offend thee, cut it off. Be better to go into heaven with one hand than into hell with both. Now, I know we don't hear much about hell anymore, but hell is for real just as much as heaven is for real. We don't like to think that anybody goes there. You know, everybody's relative that dies, you know, you hear people say, oh, he's not in misery anymore, he's not suffering anymore. And well, that is, if he's saved, he isn't. But what about unsaved people? Do you believe the Bible? And yet this relationship that I have with God as being my Father is such a valuable relationship. Wow. I really feel that wherever I go or whatever I do, that he's right there with me. He said he would be there. He said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He likes to do good things for me. That's what you need to do, is learn how to appropriate a blessing. Stay in the favor of God. Have you ever been around someone you know that they're They're just in favor with God. You can feel it and you know it. But every person here can be in favor with God. So that the whole church finds this favor. And we don't look for ways to make other people look bad, but try to make everybody look as good as possible. Show everybody how much we love each other. You know, I was just so amazed when the Cantrell told me almost everybody that comes here tells me. They said, Brother Grant, your people are so happy. They seem to be so happy with each other. I said, well, they are, Brother Cantrell. Why is that? Well, because they're Christian. That's something. Am I really God's child? But you see, if I drop out of favor with God and I become disobedient and I miss heaven, I've got to understand that I'm going to live as long as you live if you go to heaven. When we've been there 10,000 years talking about heaven, right, shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. But forever beautiful, beautiful day in heaven, there is a long, long, lonely, suffering night in hell. I want to be honest with myself. So some people just walk in dishonesty. They won't ask themselves the right questions. They just want to pretend that everything's all right and ignore things that are bad. You can't do that. You're God's child. He's walking with you. Once we're born again, according to 1 John 3, verse 1, we're now then called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Aren't you glad you're a son of God? Oh, I'm so glad that I know him in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. Let's just lift our hands as our praise singers come. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, we love you. We love you. Halamahushakata ramamama bahataya. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Aren't you glad you know him in the power of the Holy Ghost? I guess maybe, you know, if you just lived your life the way you wanted to live it, you died, was dumped into a fire, and you burned up, that's bad enough. But it's not that way. You're not just snuffed out. Why? Because you were made in his likeness and his image. And life and breath that's inside of you is a part of God. So you don't just poof and you're gone. We're all his offspring. All of us. Praise God. Stand with me, would you? I want to give you the opportunity to come and seek the Lord. you feel that you're letting things slide a little bit, why don't you come on down here and pray? Come on down to your right and pray. Come on. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you've got some problems and you can't seem to get the victory over it, why don't you just come and stand in front of the pulpit here then? Some of you who are sick in body, and you've been wrestling with this problem for some time, why don't you just come and stand over here then to your left? Come on down the front. Come on. Come on down. Our praise singer is going to sing now.
Jesus, the most beautiful.